The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Have you ever wanted to design your own fictional alphabet? You guys ever wanted to do that?
I have.
See, that's fantastic, because strap in, because we're going to be talking about just that. And the fact that you have means you actually might have something interesting to share that we're not aware of. So that's good. Hello and welcome, heroes, to the Crit Academy. I am your host, Justin.
I'm your co-host, Ian.
I'm your co-host, Brandon.
We hope to inspire you with creative content that you can bring with you on your next adventure. Next adventure. Welcome back.
Hi.
He reproduced.
I reproduced. Yes.
He's like an ooze.
We had a baby.
Just keeps splitting.
Yeah, we had a 6-pound, 6-ounce baby boy. His name's Damien. And I love that name, by the way, because when you get that like super Christian old lady, she's like, "Oh, what's his name?" He's like, "His name's Damien." She's like, "Okay,
isn't that the name of the son of the devil?" That depends.
Do I look like
that's why I said that's why it depends. Well, congratulations and welcome back.
Thanks for having me back. I'm so fucking tired.
Yeah, but it looks like you're both tired. I mean, I can't tell through a steel helmet, but Ian's wearing his armored helmet. Well, Ian, why don't you tell us about that?
Yep. Went to the Renaissance Fair this weekend and had a blast. Walked out with a helmet.
Walked out with a helmet.
Yep, and he really looks like an honest knight.
Looks like.
Yeah, until it comes off, then the truth of the horror, you know, monster that you are comes off. So, how about we get into this? Just so you guys know, we are trying something a little bit different. We are, if you're watching live, we will be ending the show after the main topic, and the UTTs will be uploaded later, as well as be separated into two podcasts. So our main topic will be part of the podcast, and then there'll be another release that's just Unearthed Tips and Tricks. That way you can navigate your favorite parts of the show easier.
We're also going to do this completely unscripted for the most part.
Yes.
It's gonna be an actual topic talk.
For better or worse.
Mostly worse, I bet. Are you going to wear that the whole time?
We'll see.
All right. Let's talk about some of the reasons why you would want to create your own fictional alphabet. Brandon, you said you've done this, which, honestly, I haven't. So, that's not true. I did it for a puzzle once.
I
used Cypher, the ciphering where you just move things around a little bit. But why did you decide you wanted to create a fictional alphabet?
To be honest, it's because, well, when you're in a submarine, it gets really boring. That's the first part.
Secondly,
one of my shipmates, we were running D&D type of thing. It was a choose your own adventure to this thing. Mm-hmm. He had his own story, and it was really good. Everything had a hook. And all I had to do was just say, oh, I want to do this. I'll do this. And there was no rolling or anything. It was just a story he told. And he came across with this alphabet that he had made, this own language. I was like, that's really cool. I'm going to make my own. So I just made my own.
You just decided that. That's hilarious.
Just because I wanted to.
Okay. Yeah. Ian, have you ever done anything like that?
Probably. That doesn't seem like something you'd do back in middle school.
Okay. Probably. Well, so I'll tell you that the reason I think that creating your own written language is a great aspect of a role-playing game, as written languages are everywhere, and they're a very good key to spreading different cultures, right? And we see that even in the player's handbook, where we see the Draconic text versus the Elven or Dwarven script, right? It really stands out quite a bit. And so not only do you get to spread this bit of culture, but it really just breathes life into your world that wasn't there. For me, I think replacing common with your own script would be really cool. That's just me personally, because everyone automatically assumes common is whatever native language you're playing in, which is usually English. And I think that's very arrogant of us. But as I mentioned, the number one reason for me to do this is it makes puzzles and notes far more interesting, don't you think?
It most certainly can.
Like, how awesome would it be if, Ian, you're the only character that speaks Dwarvish, and I wrote out a letter in the Dwarvish script, and only you knew what it said. Like, maybe I give you one written in English and one in Dwarvish, but I pass it out to everyone until they hand it to you, and then you can read it out loud to the party in character.
Oh, that'd be a nice touch.
Wouldn't, don't you think? I think that would be just awesome.
That sounds fun.
And to me, that's one of the things that I think makes that really fun. So once again, tying it to a fictional language that already exists with one thing, but coming up, everyone, most people do their own homebrew. So why not make your own language? Maybe it's your own ancient language, as in the Aragon series, right? Where Christopher Paolini did that. He created the ancient language for it. And that really was a big aspect of that world.
And then there's Tolkien.
Yeah, he created two different versions of Elvish, didn't he?
Only two?
Was there more? I'm not a huge Tolkien fan, so.
I just know that he made an Elven language. I know he did multiple versions.
And so. Dwarvish and Orcish and
And there's a reason why he did that, because it really brought his stories to life, especially when one of the heroes shouts something in that language. You know, I haven't read the books. Don't shoot me. I only read The Hobbit, and I fell asleep, and I was like, this is boring, and never finished it.
That's the most simple one to read.
Yeah, right. But I remember in the movie Lord of the Rings, the first one, The Fellowship, where the elven chick runs into the river and shouts something in Elvish, and I'm like, what's her name?
Arwen?
Sure, go with that. I know every D&D character is crucifying me right now for not reading those books or barely remembering the movies, but I honestly thought it was mostly forgettable. But what?
Nothing.
Talking shit?
Arwen.
Arwen?
If you go my Lord of Rings, yes.
Yes. What'd you say?
I said Arwen. I was like, okay. Is it Aelin?
But anyways, the point is that moments in a story can be greatly... You can greatly increase the impact and the emotion just by adding your own language. So today, we are going to talk about really easy ways to do this. And man, I'll tell you what, it's easier than you can imagine. So today, we actually found on the internet, on Reddit, by I forgot the Redditor's name. I'm sure Alicia will toss it into the comments. But on Reddit, we found a perfect 8.5 by 11 file that has all the rules for making your own language that you can just post right on your desktop while you write.
Neat.
Which I think is really cool. So we're going to break that down.
File. Huh? You showed us that file. I remember that.
I did. So with that, how about... first of all, I want to say thank you to Crit Nation. I don't remember who shared it for easy reference, but thank you. That's how I found it, and I had to backtrack it. So really, the question is, how do we do this, right? And there's a couple different ways that we can do this. First thing, you have to choose the style of your fictional alphabet. What do you think I mean by style?
Which way do you read it?
Well, that's actually another part.
Flourishes. Is it squared off? Is it sharp like Draconic is?
See,
is it nice and squiggly like Elven?
You know, if you haven't seen Brandon's, what is your calligraphy?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Oh, thanks.
And you're on the right track. The flowing is the next part we're going to talk about. But what I mean by the style is, well, is it hard? Is it rounded? Is it bold? Is it thin? You know, just little things like that can really make an impact on the style. A good example is the Dwarven language. In the player's handbook, it's very blocky, right? There's solid lines, straight lines. That's pretty much it, and they're all kind of just, that's it. There's no flowing. There's no flow to them at all. What do you guys think about that?
That doesn't fit the stereotype of their culture.
Right there. He nailed it. Yep. It shows their culture through the way their language is written. So what do you think the Elvish language looks like?
Windy.
Flowing scripts.
Flowing, right? It probably is all together, rounded tips, big, giant, embellished, you know, I don't know what you call that.
A flourish.
All those things. And when you customize your language, the style you choose is going to make a great impact and reveal a lot about the culture, which I...
Really, Ian?
Silver Wolf's like, really, Ian?
I made a show to his bonfire yesterday wearing this.
So
to get high.
What are some other styles besides the two obvious flourish and the blockiness of the two you would think of?
Well, scratchy and skippy would be something that would remind me of like Goblin or
Orc. Oh, that's really good. I like that.
I'm not thinking Morse code.
Morse code? Just a bunch of dots and lines? That's a really cool one. That's an interesting style. Because then you got to work how to redo the lines, right? Braille. wow, that's bad.
Or Viking runes are just lines because they're chiseled.
Ooh, that's really... Dulcinea says, Ian went to the Ren Fair and came back with a helmet, and personally, I believe it is now fused to his bald skull. That's why it's still on. all right, so the other thing I want to touch on, and I think is a really good style, is pictographs. We see that a lot in Japanese kanji and in hieroglyphics, right? I think hieroglyphics is more pictograph,
yeah.
I think,
yeah.
But those are two different styles, right?
They're much easier when you know the vowels.
Yes. Keep in mind, we're talking about writing, not necessarily language, right? We're not asking you to figure out how to pronounce it all, though you can, right? You can definitely go that route. For me, it's all about writing, because I ain't got time to figure out how to do it. Remember I told you I did the like a cipher, right? Where I basically just shifted the alphabet and then made letters, right? It's very simplistic, but it can look really nice. What are some other styles you guys have seen that are written forms of styles for fictional alphabets?
The whole thing is that she built a code that was mostly made of triangles as a culture that used it mainly carved into tough stone like granite.
Because it was easier, huh? That would make sense. So that reveals about the culture.
Yeah, there's one. Whovian.
Who? Is that like a hoverboard?
Whovian.
Whovian?
I think it's called Whovian. If there's any Doctor Who fans out there, or anyone watching right now, if that's the proper term, I think it's called Whovian. It's, you know how Doctor Who's a Time Lord? And he jumps through time and stuff. His written
spoiler line, alert.
If you don't know that, you're
like 16 series or whatever.
God damn.
That's just the modern series.
His alphabet, it looks like clockwork.
Oh, that is cool.
It is.
So it's like circles with like lines in them that are
in a way. Yes. It's one of the coolest things I've ever seen. Like one sentence is a circle and it's got all the wording is inside and it gets smaller and smaller. Once it's done, you move to the next one.
So it's funny you talk about that. That's a really good example. Have you guys seen Arrival?
Yes.
It's amazing. Oh, yeah. If you have not seen Arrival, you need to. But the aliens that come, they write in a circle, right? And it's very flowing, but it flows into a circle, which leads into our next thing. Orientation and reading is the next way. Because we as English, I don't want to say that because – English are proper and Americans aren't, but the way we read in English is from left to right, and that's very straightforward. But you can easily decide you want your language to be backwards, so from right to left. What about up to down, right?
Uh-huh.
And as I mentioned in Arrival, they write in a circle, so they read in a circle, right? So, and the stuff can overlap and everything and intertwine, which I think is really, really neat. So what are some different ways that orientation and reading flow can make a unique, you can use to make a unique fictional writing?
Well, I know I keep reading comics from right to left by accident because I read so much manga.
So it messes you up?
Yeah.
It's a good one, reading from the back of the book to the other direction, right? What about you, Brandon? What are some very creative ways we can do orientation and reading?
Page 1 is at the front, page 2 is at the very back, page 3 is number 2 in front, page 4 is number 2 in the back.
I think my brain just broke.
That doesn't take much.
We got the Pokemon on. No, that's a really good one.
What's that?
The unknown Pokemon. They all represent letters.
Not familiar.
Really?
I want to fucking quit this show.
Point we're trying to say, orientation and flow should be something that you're considering next. And obviously, up and down, left and right are the most obvious, but I like the idea of diagonal, right? Where you start at the top and you read down in like slash forms. So you get this really interesting flow, which is kind of a mix. You could also do mixes where the first sentence is horizontal, and maybe the crossing sentence, like a crossword puzzle, could be interesting.
There's a movie she saw in physics class, so she can't remember the name, but then she got it from Aliens, which was designed to sit on a 3D surface, like a cube.
Ooh.
But the researchers attempted to match it up the pages on a 2D surface, which therefore made it too long to decode the message.
There was, what was the movie? It was, Contact, I think, did something like that with Jodie Foster, where they had all these numbers and stuff, and it formed a map or an instruction manual, but it wasn't until they looked at it in three dimensions that it made sense.
That was probably the movie, yeah.
So that's definitely something you could do. Andrew says circular flow like in Interstellar. I've not seen Interstellar, but circular is definitely a good one. I also think that a really good representation of language is in Doctor Strange flicks when he uses magic. Those aren't just arcane sigils. They're like, they mean stuff, right?
Ideally.
Well, ideally, right?
Yeah. No, I think it's funny because you're like, oh, you can do it in this direction. You can read it in this direction. And my first thought was The Walking Dead, Don't Dead Open Inside.
What? I've never seen Walking Dead.
I get it. On hospital doors, the left one says, don't open. Now the right one says, dead inside. But if you read it like we would, it says, don't dead open inside.
I see. Okay.
Nothing. All those various memes that make fun of signs. This place says healthy burgers. No, it says heal thy burgers.
Ooh. What about crop circles?
Ooh, that's a good one. I think that that'd fall under like pictographs, wouldn't it?
I guess it would.
But geometry is another one. You see it in Full Metal Alchemist, right? They put in these complex sigils that intermingle and mix and make new meanings, right?
Yeah.
So there's a lot you can do when designing your own fictional language with these simple steps. It really does help a lot, I think. The next thing you want to do is whether it's flowing or it's separate. I think a good example of this is the English language. We write and we write a word and then there's a space and then there's a word and then a space, then a word, right? And that's how we write. But in cursive, we at least we connect all the letters within a word and then flow into the next word. But who says there has to be a space between them? Maybe there's something else that separates them that's not a space.
That would be kind of like the alphabet I did, like I was saying before. It was I can't remember what I called it, but it was you know the machine they put on your chest and you see your heartbeat and it does that spike or whatever?
A heart monitor?
It has an actual name.
Oh, does it? Well, that's what I call it.
But that up and down, those Vs or whatever, that's why I based my alphabet off of, was the up downs. So
that's kind of cool.
Like A would be 1, B would be up, down, and then depending on the size and the length of the Vs, determine the letter. And for
just one continuous flow, then.
And for the next word, I would do a loop and then keep going.
That's interesting.
EKG.
EKG?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Thank you for the smarter audience out there that's smarter
than
us. Andrew,
I'm giving you a point of inspiration. Good job.
Oh, is it electrocardiogram or whatever it's called?
Maybe. Electrocardiogram, and that might be it. Also, you only give inspiration on failures now, so that's my new mantra. I love it, and I'm going to steal it. So, I do want to say that I think that one of the other interesting ways we can do this is I think blockchain, which is stupid because it has nothing to do with this, but imagine if a paragraph was written with so many words in a sequence. So you can only do three words that are flowing, then you go down a line, three words, and then a line, and you go down and you fill a block like a column, but then you have another block right next to it. So you're reading each little column is a paragraph, and you're reading this way, but you're reading top to down first. I think could be really interesting.
Dalcinia, that's very strange trying to think of speaking or writing words without a vowel.
Like ancient Greek, they have spaces between each other or punctuation. So.
So the other thing that I want to talk, John, is when you're creating your language, don't forget punctuation. Does it need punctuation? What about numbers? You got to create numbers, right? I mean, a count, unless you just have to write everything out, I guess. What do you guys think? What are some interesting punctuations?
I like Tolkien's punctuation in the Elven writing.
Which is?
I'm trying to remember. When I was in high school and I was like really big in Tolkien, I was trying to actually learn how to write out Elvish. And I remember like certain capitals and certain vowels, like a lowercase e and a capital E look the same, but there'll be three dots next to it that indicate that it's a capital or something like that.
Interesting.
And it was ancient hieroglyphics. It was surround proper nouns with a cartouche.
What's a cartouche?
I don't know what a cartouche is.
That sounds naughty.
Can I see your cartouche?
It's a symbol they use in the hieroglyphs. So.
Yeah, I didn't know that. But that's a really good point. So, what?
Dulcinea is why the name of God, a.k.a. Yahweh, is spelled that way. Y-H-W-Y is because vowels are relatively new, and I didn't fucking know that.
Oh, wow. I have no idea. Anyways, so, Thomas says, my buddy is making a language from musical notes and volume tones.
That sounds so cool.
That is so cool. I love that. And I think, and this is just me imagining, but that would be perfect for like a Fae-type race who has like a sing-songy voice, right? So everything they do is kind of like a hymn. How cool would that be? And if they're like all from the same clan or group, maybe they talk together as one and it creates like a chorus. Oh my goodness, that would be so much fun. Are you seeing the benefit of creating your own language? As just we're talking about it, we're describing these interesting details that just makes the story visible, vivid in your mind. Think about it. If you're fighting like Goliath, for instance, and you want to write your own language, maybe it's a series of Ian mentioned Morse code. Maybe they're primitive, so they can swing their swords, so they got lines lines for drawing, and they can stab their swords or their axes right into the ground, and so they got this very primitive Morse code type language.
And that doubles so they can communicate long distances using drums.
Oh, that is fantastic. So just boom, boom, boom.
Isn't that how smoke signals work?
Yes.
That too.
the little music notes thing gave me also an idea. When you're texting somebody, what is the most common issue that happens when you're talking to someone with text?
No intonation.
No intonation, so you can't tell if they're being
sarcastic
or mad or angry or that. Because when you're reading music, facetious. I don't know if you've ever actually had to read music before, but at the beginning,
can't read music.
It denotes its speed, like it's a 1/4 notes, 4/4, 8th, 16th, or whatever. Those could denote the emotion behind the sentence, saying the 4/4 note is anger, that this person's writing in anger, or this half note can be, oh, they're happy or something like that. Oh my God, that'd be so cool.
Oh, that sounds awesome. And Ian mentioned the drums, and I think Dulcinea's got a really cool point here. Some things you can't hear. Elephants communicate through low vibration sounds that travel miles, but are literally nobody can hear or feel, right? That, to me, is emojis are essentially hieroglyphs. That's funny. In the future, people are just trying to decipher the emoji language. I think that's a really interesting take on it, too, because there's a lot of animals that communicate in different ways. Now, while we're talking about writing, there's nothing that says you can't, you know, turn it into a type of language and you compare it to an animal, right? What if you're fighting a bunch of, I don't know, you're the Kenku, for instance, and they don't just communicate via words, but clicks and caws, right? So maybe that translates into a thing like Morse code, right? Something short and abrupt that's easy to get across in battle or, you know, in conversation, I think. I don't know.
What do you suppose a Mind Flayer's alphabet would look like?
Ooh, that's a good one.
So the same thing's like, well, they're very telepathic-based. They don't speak a lot.
I would say like some sort of color or emotion. See, that's interesting, though. That's an interesting thing because you're right. They probably, if they have to write stuff down, right? Well, they got a hive mind. Maybe they don't. They just have creatures that just store information that they just reach out and pull it from. See Dave. He's the angry one. But that's something to consider when you're creating your languages. Who's it for? And how does it fit into their society?
Maybe the Githyanki use stars for their alphabet.
Ooh.
Because
like constellations?
Yeah.
That's fascinating. So I would say you could follow along like the cryptograph or the pictograph, except it's just a series of dots to represent star constellations, right?
That would be really confusing and very
chaotic.
Deceptive.
How so?
Because if you don't know what the constellations are, it just looks like a grouping of stars.
Well, imagine how they would write it out. Imagine one page, instead of it going in any sort of design, it just looks like a bunch of dots everywhere, like a star chart.
And each different word is a large group of stars, while the next one is evenly spread out, but stars are smaller to represent a different word or something.
Mm-hmm. I don't
know. Depth is what I'm thinking.
I like that. That's pretty cool. What are you thinking?
I keep picturing a language where you actually layer the letters on top of each other to form words.
Ooh, that's nice. That kind of reminds me of when Iron Man was inside the cave, and he wrote all of his stuff on separate sheets that were translucent, and then it didn't make sense until you overlaid them, and then you got a full picture.
Yep.
I think that's really cool. Andrew's got a really great point, and I like this because it fits the theme. He says maybe elves could have symbols that resemble leaves, trees, and plants, because there's enough of them in the world. They can represent everything, right? We already know that. Even in our world, that's true. A rose. What does rose represent?
Love.
Love and passion, right? Why couldn't you do that for every sort of... Like, I can see poison ivy plants design being an insult. Like, dude, you're just as annoying and irritating as a poison ivy rash on your butt crack. And it's just like their code for being an asshole. An itchy, annoying asshole. Oh, jeez. Is there anything else that really you can do? And this sounds like a lot, but it's not really. This is like 5 or 6 steps to making an interesting story in alphabet. You start with the style, right? The flow. What else did we talk about?
Orientation.
I mean, it's so simple. And you can start with your own language. I would start with English. 26, I would just need 26 of them, right? Then I just have to learn memorize what each symbol meant.
You probably only need 21, actually, since some of the letters make the exact same sound.
Ooh, that's interesting. That's also what...
C and K and Q.
Yeah, that's an excellent point.
Wasn't that another point that was on that thing? Like, a CH makes that... sound,
mm-hmm.
But that you can make an entire letter just for that specific
sound. Now you're getting complicated because now you're tying sounds to it, right? Yeah. And we know sounds, different letters can make different sounds, right?
I love which alphabet you use, too.
Yeah, so.
Remember, we were younger, we were kids, we were going somewhere, I think we were going to a hockey game. He looked at my dad and he said, Ozo Bay. And he said, you just call me a bozo? And the look on your face said, yeah.
I do remember that. Oh, God. I think it was more than that, though, wasn't it? We were watching Short Circuit, and I thought it was Uskre Uye Ozo Bay. Right? I do remember him looking at me wanting to beat my ass, though.
A diphthong?
Yeah.
By the way,
the ch in is a diphthong.
Diphthong. Giggity.
See, I didn't know that. My I only speak bad English, so. All right. Do you guys have any other comments on this? Any other benefits to creating your own language? Besides that your players can't read your notes if you learn to write in
Thomas Kelly says using dance.
Using what?
Dance. Like as language.
Like bees.
Ooh, I like that. I think I have to take inspiration from MJ there. The moonwalk. When he like goes on his knees and toes. All right.
Now to include that, actually, for the 1D&D playtesting, they've added sign language,
mm-hmm.
The Collins Sign Language. And if you learn,
I only know one sign language, and it involves my middle finger.
Sign language actually is not that hard. When I was working at Extra, I had a book. That's a J, and I read through this book over and over and over again. I was like, okay, this stuff isn't that hard. Like it's taco.
He just put his arm chopped his hand.
Taco.
That's funny.
It's weird. And there's no the or anything like that. It's a very straight, basic dog caught red ball. There's nothing.
Not
else
a bunch
it.
Of extra crap.
No. And since we're talking about making different languages using common, what if you have a deaf player who does use ASL and you're speaking with ASL too, and you start using different sign languages that they don't recognize, and they're like what's that, and you say, oh, it's a language that your character sees.
Oh, that is amazing. I love that.
That would be really neat. I don't think it'd be very difficult either.
I love the idea of even implementing something like ASL as like the core for the game, because you have somebody that's deaf at your thing. So everyone is doing it at the table the whole time.
I love how we're doing this. Like, we know what we're doing.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I'm just waving my hands like a sorcerer.
What I like though is a lot of things are very basic. Like, that's tree. It grows up out of the ground.
So he's holding his hand for you in the audience that can't see and running his finger through it and wiggling it. Yeah. And so it makes sense.
Coffee. Yeah, it's not.
What is that?
Coffee.
Oh. It's not what I thought you said. All right. So
hashtag. That's a fucking sign now.
Hashtag Crit Academy for life. All right. I think that'll do it for our main topic. You're going to say anything, something, Ian?
Nope.
Okay. Before we close out here on our main topic, I want to take a moment to let you guys know that Exotic Equipment Perks, our new Kickstarter, is now live based on our weapon perks, which you guys have made our single greatest selling product.
It's true.
And it's amazing. So we've taken it. We've heard your calls for a physical book. So we obviously can't do that on DM's Guild. So we rewrote all the perks. We gave some new perks, which fit with the old ones. So you can combine it if you've got both books. And we've also delved into adding perks to our armor. My favorite being the fact that the Lobby armor, the padded armor that nobody wears, if you're wearing it and you go unconscious, somebody, when they do a medicine check, can pull off a part of the armor and use it as a triage bandage. And not only can they roll to stabilize you, but if they roll a 19 or 20, you can spend a hit die and gain that many hit points, which is just cool. Awesome. Yeah, it really is awesome.
I love that book.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad.
Not sure what's doing.
We all did. We did good work on that.
What other Crit Academy stuff do you have? It's like, really?
Let me tell you. But anyways, so yeah, if you want to support the Kickstarter, please head on over to rebrand.ly/exotic perks. Please hit notify me. The algorithms for Kickstarter really likes that, and we'll show it to more people when it launches. So if every listener that's listening to this and watching this does that, it would be really, we'd really appreciate
it. Even if you don't want it, it's just going to...
Well, of course, everyone wants it, but I know not everyone has the funds, right?
I'm not going to lie. When I first saw the book, it's like, I don't want to include this into my games. It might make them overpowered.
It doesn't.
And then I presented it to my players, and they are having the most fun time ever. Like the repost with the rapier?
Yes.
He used that finally for the first time. He's like, that's so awesome. I'm like, yeah, I know, isn't it? You dropped an AC from 17 to 12.
Let me ask you something.
Good job.
Are you using it with your monsters? Because if not, you're missing out.
No, I probably should.
Because you should apply the perks to the monsters as well. Because then the goblins all have different weapons, and they all can have different actions. So please consider backing it today at rebrand.ly/exotic perks. If you'd like to support us, and you can visit critacademy.com, follow us on social media, leave us a review. Come and chat with us in Discord. I know Ian just posted all kinds of awesome pictures of his trip to a Renaissance festival. Definitely do that. And if you want to talk more in depth about the things that we discuss on the show, please do it.
Hi.
I am your host, Justin.
I'm your co-host, Ian.
And I'm your co-host, Brandon. Thanks for listening.
Keep your blades sharp and spells prepared, heroes.
Ah, crap, that nose itches.
Oh, sorry. Do you need help scratching your nose?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I can put something up.
You don't know where your fingers been.
I know.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.